And as we come to consider God's word again, I'm going to ask his help. We all need his help, and you certainly need me for him to help. You certainly want me to be helped by him. For Almighty God, we want to thank you for your word. It tells us so much about you, us, and this amazing world that you've made. Father, we thank you for the challenge from your word today, that, Lord, you are able to do far more than we ask and even think and can comprehend. So, Father, we ask that your spirit may move amongst us. Give us that bolder, bigger, greater picture and awe and wonder of who you are and what can you do in us and through us through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Father, we give you thanks and praise in your name. Amen. So as we thought last week, it's a brand new year, but what stops it ending in the same old us? And that was a challenge we looked at last week as we stood at the door of 2024, a time when many people make resolutions. We thought, well, what could be the spiritual resolution for us as individuals and us as a church? Where would we like to be in terms of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in 12 months' time? Where would we like our church to be in terms of its spiritual health and its Christ-likeness in 12 months' time? And I thought that was a good challenge for us, a good challenge for me. And so if you're here last week, we started looking at Ephesians chapter 3. We specifically focused on verses 13 to 19. And we saw a brand new year doesn't have to end with the same old us as we enjoy God's presence and as we experience his love. It will be as we let Jesus get under our skin. And by the way, I worked out my rhyme. I couldn't work out my rhyme last week, could I? Rhyme for this week. It's as we let Jesus get under our skin that we enjoy his presence within. That is verses 16 and 17. And we illustrated that by thinking about how the places we live, when we go there, we kind of make them our home. And in the same way we make the place that is our where we live our home, so allowing the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives so that he makes his home in there through reading God's word, through meditating on God's word, and through prayer, so we enjoy his presence. And then we thought about it's how we fathom the love of Jesus. I couldn't make this one rhyme so well, sorry. But as we fathom the love of Jesus, the more we experience the love of Jesus in verses 17 to 19. And we illustrated that by how in the evening you can look up into the sky. And it doesn't matter how many times you look at that sky. It hasn't changed much in a few years. We just find more and discover more. And it gives us a wow and a wonder. And so the more we know about fathom the love of God, so that we experience his love. And so this week, I want us to build. We can have one more resolution, spiritual revolution. Sorry, revolution. Resolution. You weren't praying hard enough earlier. Resolution for this year. But also, I don't know whether you're left with that sense. How do we do that sense with, wow, that's a pretty big thing to aim for. How on earth are we going to achieve it? How are we going to achieve it this year? Now, the way I'm going to do that is through some, I'm going to start with a mildly silly exercise, some audience participation. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give one of these out to you guys, one of these out to you guys. You will then have 30 seconds to do what it says, okay? So don't do it yet, okay? So let me give some of these out. Andrew, do you mind giving those out to this side? If you need a pen, shout. Anybody need a pen? Thanks, Cole. I'm take one and pass it on. Thanks, Dick. Take one and pass it on. Thanks, Trevor.
One for everyone.
Should be one for everyone. Should be, unless I've miscounted. Anybody need a pen? That'd go wrong if I tried to do that. Yeah, yeah. Or somebody else's forehead. Yes, would you like one? Thank you.
Thanks, Mo.
You all got one? Perfect. Everybody this side, you got one? I'm going to give you 30 seconds to read it and do it. 3, 2, 1. Oh, sorry, which side? The side that says draw. That's the side you're working on, sorry. Mud would help, I tell you, wouldn't it? So one of the sides, the one with the bigger box, that size box, okay? That's the size you're working on. 3, 2, 1, go. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. There you go. Right, stop. Pens down, no cheating. Now, everybody on this side, assuming you gave the right piece of paper, you should have all done the same thing. And everybody this side, you should have done the same thing. So look at what you've drawn. Laugh at it. Now hold it up and show the other side what you've drawn. Okay. Can we see? Right. What do you notice? Difference. Okay. All you guys on this side, you all had the same thing to draw, which was a... So you all knew what you had to draw. All you had to do is go and do it. You didn't have to think about it. You just had to draw it. This side, I told you to go and do, well, whatever you like. Now, the problem with that, some of you would have gone and drawn something, and others you would think, oh, I've got 30 seconds. I don't even know what to draw in 30 seconds. If it was me, who's not very creative, I wouldn't have a clue. Now, that may seem a silly exercise. Why did I get us to do it? But to get the point is when we know when we're heading, it's far easier to get there, isn't it? And when we're all heading towards the same thing, there's kind of this collective feel that we're all in it together. If we're just doing anything random, we're literally doing our own thing, and it's under our own strength. And so as we look to the year ahead as a church, knowing where we're going means we are more likely to get there. Sorry, that's the instruction. When we're knowing where we're going, it helps us to get there. In a sense, that's a thought to hold this morning. So where are we going? Well, we looked at our card last week, that verse that we had, and when we know where we're going, there's this idea of solidarity. And you may remember the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Paul finds himself under, he's a prisoner of conscience in Rome. And he has heard back that his favourite group of Christians in Ephesus are concerned. They're worrying. They're losing heart because they're fearing their future because of what Paul has gone through. And so Paul responds. He wants to encourage them. He wants to strengthen them. To be resolved as they look to the future. Don't worry for your future. Why? Well, in chapters 1 to 3, Paul says, remember how you became a Christian, what made you a Christian. And when we're caused to wonder, he said in chapter 4 to 6, then remember what it means to be a Christian. And in knowing what made us a Christian, what it means to be a Christian, we find strength in our Lord for whatever the future holds. So hopefully we can see why as a church we're looking at these verses as we look to the year ahead. And I think the year ahead will be quite interesting for us as a church. So this brand new year, it doesn't have to end with the same old us. As we seek to enjoy God's presence together, as we seek to experience God's love together. And now let's look at this third one, as we seek to exhibit God's glory together. That's what you get in verses 20 and 21. So if you brought your card, look at it, Andrew. If you've got it at home on your fridge where it should be, or by your bed, wherever you put it, it's on our fridge. And do feel, if you want to take more, there's more out there. Don't think you've just got to have one. Okay. Now this is what it is. I'd love us to read it together. Okay. It's on the screen. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. According to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Did you spot in there the purpose for us as a church? To him be glory in the church. Yeah. Now, just to make sure we grasp what that means, I've rewritten this verse. Don't worry, it's not heresy. But I've placed in it our name. So I'd love us to read this again with what it means from our perspective. Together? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that St. Richard's ask or think, according to the power at work within the people of St. Richard's, to him be glory in St. Richard's and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Just ponder that a minute. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
To him be glory in St. Richard's. Do we believe that? Do we actually believe that in the year ahead that is possible, that we as a community of people, God will find glory to him in us?
Yeah.
That's pretty stunning, isn't it? To him be glory in St. Richard's through 2024. Now let me back up a minute, because that can seem quite funny to think. We know to him be glory in St. Richard's and in Christ Jesus. We can't, this second one, in Christ Jesus, we kind of get that, don't we? How God the Father is glorified through the Son because of how he lived, what he did, what he's achieved for his people. Indeed, Jesus himself in his prayer as recorded in John 17 says, Father, I have glorified you through what I've done and in completing the mission that you've given me to do. We kind of get how Jesus glorifies the Son. But now look around the room. The motley crew we are. Sorry, the group of diverse individuals that we are. And yet, God is glorified through us. Isn't that pretty amazing? But how does that work? So we can think about how God is glorified. And often, if people picture it, it says, God is glorified like this, as I worship him, as I praise him. In a sense, I am reflecting the power of God back to you, Lord. And we can think as a collective then, therefore, how do we as a church glorify God? It's as we so much together are in praise to God, reflecting his power in us back to him as a community. Now, there's something in that. But I think there's something, the Bible actually gives a different model to how God is glorified through his church. And that is what I call a loop. It's from God, his power, through us, and it's how it affects other people that brings him glory. Rather than just this one way, it is God through us affecting others that brings him glory. And that's why we have that motto that we built up last year, which is, I've still kept on the back of the card. I'm going to borrow Andrew's card because mine's at home. I don't need to make a point of it. But we looked at last year, what was the point of a Christian? What's the point of St. Richard's? It is to live for the glory of God and the benefit of others. How do we do that? By knowing him personally, by showing him through the way we live, and sharing him. There is a loop. God is glorified. His power at work in us as we know him, as we show him, as we share him, makes an impact on other people. And that's how God is glorified. And if you think I'm just making this all up, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, we actually get this loop. Paul writing says, the manifest truth and wisdom of God is made known to the principalities and powers through the church. The power of God working in the church, as principalities and powers in the universe see what's going on, they glorify God. We get this loop. As we know Jesus through his word and prayer, show him through the way we live and interact with our communities and share him, God is glorified. Now, just in case we're not really grasping that, let me give an illustration. So last week we had the illustration of how we like to make the place we live our home. It's a picture of making Jesus part of our lives, and how we look at the universe and always see something more and makes us go, wow. So the more we know, fathom the love of Jesus, it makes us go, well, let me give an illustration for this week and how we glorify God. Now think of a sport. Sorry, I forgot where I've got two of my things. Think of a sport, any sport, doesn't matter what sport you think of. Now most sports have a coach. Okay. Now what is the role of that coach? Well, the key of the success of the team is having a good coach, isn't it? And that job of the coach is to understand people's strengths and weaknesses, to promote and maintain motivation in the athletes so that they can work hard. And they do so by accessing the skills of the team already and building them up. They provide that physical training, that mental training, the emotional training they need to improve their sporting results and output. Now imagine for a moment that we are now a manager of a a team and we're looking for a new coach. We want the best coach our money can buy, don't we? But how can we find that gem of a coach amongst all the rough? Do we just look at their CV, read it through? Well, if any of you have been involved in employment, CVs take with a pinch of salt. Do we look at their Myers-Briggs profile, which is the personality profile? Are you a blue, a red, a yellow, or a green? Whatever that really means. I'm a blue, apparently. Arctic blue, i.e. no more blue than blue. What does that mean? Do you look there? Do we look into their Facebook profile or their Twitter account? Or how do you find somebody who truly is a good coach? You look at the players, don't you? You look at the athletes. You look at the output from their work. We study the team. How do they play together? How do they complement each other? How do they cope with those unexpected scenarios, those tough events, those unfair decisions? Could it be fair to say that the glory in a coach is seen through the people they train? The glory of a coach is seen through the people they train. And as we hold that thought, I wonder whether we can see how Paul can write, "God be glory in St. Richard's." And therefore that gives us quite a responsibility, isn't it, as individuals and as a collective. The way we are as individuals, the way we are together, will bring God glory. You know, it's the way we relate to one another. The way we, well, in a sense, as people look on us and think, what a motley crew. Yet they love each other. They're interested in each other. They grow together. They do things together. That is incredibly attractive today in a world that is so individualistic and isolated because everybody lives behind a screen. Do you know, I loved it. Well, during COVID was a real insight for us as a business. So my job during COVID, we were allowed to stay open. We were garden machinery and print. Both industries could be working through COVID. As I drove around, dropping things off and picking stuff up, people just wanted to talk. We'd miss that connection with you. You're a human. Please talk to me. And as people look on, we still want that connection. And as they see something in us they want, that is the character of God working in us. And others want to be part of that. And I think as a church, this year is going to be quite interesting for us as a community. As people start to move in the estates around us, seek to meet their needs, the purchase of this site will come to fruition one way or another. It will either definitely take place or we'll be told that's not possible. This will be a year where as individuals, we will be connecting our friends to the Lord Jesus Christ. And who knows, some will be baptized. Wouldn't that be amazing this year when we see you have to get a baptism? By the way, it is very easy to get a baptistry here. I've worked that all out already. We can hire one in from the diocese. We just have to somehow fill it with goodness knows how much litres of water, and how you empty it, that's another problem. Carl, you're the man. As we seek to grow our communities, not only spiritually, but also numerically, we need new facilities, don't we? But to be able to afford a bigger building, we need to have a bigger pot. So therefore, are we thinking about how we can grow our church, not only for the glory of Christ, but also so we can develop and build our building here? As we seek to build those partnerships with our local community association, the possibility of they will relaunch the what would be Southern Crowborough Summer Fair that we will be actively a part of. As, who knows, Carl and his garage yard kangaroo sale thing. Great idea. You know, if that takes off, it's a way of connecting us as a church to our local community. The new Southern Crowborough float that may well be happening at the carnival. So the people of Crowborough, of the Southern Crowborough, get an identity. We're here. We love each other. We're growing a community here. There are many ways in which we as a church could be an active part of making a difference to our community. We live for the glory of God and the benefit of others. The question is it can seem all too much. Can we really achieve this? So as individuals, we are seeking to know the presence of God within, to know his experience, his love, and to exhibit his glory. Is that too much? Well, what did verse 20 say? Now to him who is able to do just a little more, far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, It'd be worth, wouldn't it, writing a huge prayer of, Dear Lord, please. And say, well, you have promised to do far more. Do we believe that? If we seek to glorify God, who's in the business of glorifying himself, and that is not selfish, that's because he is God, he will bring success to what we do to bring him glory. But just as you look at that verse again, verse 20, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, just some simple questions. Who is able to achieve it? God. Now, that's a very small three-letter word, but behind that word is an incredibly powerful, almighty being, isn't it? God, the almighty, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-wise, the all-sovereign God. He is the one who is able. It's not you could ask me, Mark, can you help me with this? And I might say yes or no. With God, he is able, full stop, because of who he is. How is he able to achieve this? According to the power at work within us. And what is the outcome? Glory to him through St. Richard's. So as we stand at this door of 2024, as we seek to be changed by God and to bring glory to him, may we know that it is God who is able to achieve far more than we ask or imagine. There will be times this year when we feel, do you know, Lord, I have no idea where to go from here. I've no idea what's going to happen next. I don't know how I'm going to have the strength. In those moments, may we be minded of this verse and know that he is able. Who is able? God is able. How is he able? Because of his power that's already at work in us. And it will be to his glory, glory in the church. Now, you notice on the back of your piece of paper, if you'd like to pick it up again, there was another task to do. A brand new year doesn't have to end with the same old us. As we enjoy God's presence, as we experience God's love, and as we exhibit God's glory. You know, we can all have our own ideas where we'd love to be this year, but it's as we do this together in the strength of God that we will glorify him. You notice I've left a space there. I would love you to write something there. Maybe for you, you also have a spiritual resolution for the year. Maybe it is to know the Lord more, whether it is to read the Bible more or pray more, or whether you know there's something coming up this year that's a real challenge for you, and at this moment you are quite concerned. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know. Maybe it's a family situation, whether it's a health situation, whether it's a job situation, whether it's a moving situation, whatever it is that you already know that's going to come up. Maybe you could write that in there. So I'm going to give us a minute just to think and write our own thing in there. And then we're going to do something with the whole lot. So just write in there. Of course, if you haven't got something now, do it later. But just have a think for a moment. Now, I'd love us to take our pens, and in biggest, boldest letters you can do with whatever side pen you got, I want you to write across that whole of that side of that page that says, enjoy God's presence, experience God's love, exhibit his God's glory, and then whatever you've then written, and I want you to write across it, he is able.
Crossing
the check. Yeah. He is able. He's able to get under our skin so that we will enjoy his presence within this year. He is able to help us to fathom his love and so kindle our love for him. He is able to be glorified for whatever we do as a church, whatever happens, whatever decisions we need to make, whatever things we need to do. He will be glorified because he is able. And he is able to help you through whatever you've now put in that box because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that is at work in you already to his glory and his praise. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for how through the Holy Spirit you inspired Paul to write these words. For you, who's the one who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to you be glory in St. Richard's and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Father, that is our prayer. Help us this year to be a church that really is on our knees before your throne, seeking to have you glorified through all that we do. Father, we ask as we look at the head, to whatever comes forward, Lord, in the joys, help us to celebrate and give you the glory. In the difficult times and the sorrows and the trials, help us, Lord, to be reliant upon you. And in all these things, on our knees in prayer before the God who is able. Father, we want to thank you and give you glory for who you are. In your name. Amen.